October 3rd, 1995. Dear Elaine, I was so thrilled when I went out this morning and I could see a lot of green just barely peeping through. The forecast was for it to be terribly windy, so I watered the whole lawn really well. When we came home from Salina this afternoon, there were dry patches, but the grass had grown. Quentin looked out the window and said the lawn almost had a green cast. Quentin had to go to the urologist in Salina today. We went to Earth Care in the afternoon and I got some more bulbs. I got some anemones, some crocus, and some more daffodils and tulips. I'm going to start a lot of plants from seed. I'm sure having fun. I told Quentin that I could see one reason I've never done this before. It does get expensive. I have had an interesting situation. One day, several weeks ago, I went to town to go to a Meals on Wheels board meeting. There were only three of us there, so the meeting was called off. I had some books to take to the library, and at a stop sign, I saw my friend Norma Tucker in a car with Mary Glidden. They called out to me, asking about Eleanor Clark. There wasn't any traffic, so I went out and talked to them. I told Norma I had almost called her to have coffee when the Meals on Wheels meeting was called off, but I remembered that she had coffee with a group of women on Friday mornings. She and Mary invited me to join them. And I did. This is a very prestigious group of women, and they are so much fun. I was invited to Mary Lynn Bowker's when she had the group at her home, and then about 3 weeks ago, Lucy Johnson called me up to say she was having the group at her home and wanted me to come. So I did. I feel like I'm crashing the party all the time, but they have certainly made me feel welcome. Now I look forward to coffee every Friday morning. I'm glad you like your work. I love hearing the stories about all of the people at the station. It must be very interesting working with people from so many different countries and backgrounds. Lots of love, Mom. October 14th, 1995. Dear Elaine, on Friday, I was to go to a board meeting for Meals on Wheels. I was also invited to Lucille Miller's house for coffee. I wouldn't have missed that gathering for anything. Lucille's home is beautiful. She has a woman who travels with them from one home to the other. They have three houses that are all exactly alike. Can you believe that? She had a beautiful brunch and her woman served the coffee and passed the various kinds of food for second helpings. It was very pleasant. I was amused at Jane and Lucille. Jane commented on my black patent shoes with a gold trim. Something was said about them being expensive. Lucille said, "Sometimes when I feel like I can't afford to buy two pairs because they're expensive, I wait and go back the next day and buy the second pair." Jane said she did the same thing, or sometimes she would use two different credit cards. Quentin has given up driving voluntarily. He does drive up to Larry's shop, and he drove over to Conway the other day. I'm so happy that this has not been one of those heart-wrenching situations. He had mentioned one time that he could drive us to Albuquerque to see you, and I said I wouldn't go with him. He wanted to know why, and I said that his coordination was not enough, and it isn't. It's even hard for him to use the remote control for the TV. He pushes the red off button when he wants to change stations. He will swear something is wrong with the control when all he has to do is push the volume either up or down. We would never make it to Albuquerque. I had trouble sleeping on Thursday night, thinking about the fact that I have never been afraid of dying. I finally came to the conclusion that it might have been because of my whooping cough when I was 3 months old. The priest was called to give me last rites. I have always had a spiritual nature, and, as you know, have often said that the physical world is not all that wonderful, in my opinion. I wonder if I had some kind of crossing over experience that I just don't remember. We're so glad your work and everything is going well for you. I can appreciate how grateful your employees are to you for teaching them the television business. It must be fun for all of you to be setting the new sales records. I've thought all week about the way some of the male clients have treated your young saleswomen. It's disgusting that they think these women are hot to trot just because they're Hispanic. I also did a lot of thinking last week about the comments Annie made about men not being attracted to you. I think Annie came to a lot of the right conclusions, but I have some additional thoughts. I think that you're used to dealing with successful, well-to-do men all the time, and that you are not overwhelmed when you meet one socially. They probably don't get the homage and the adulation that they're used to and want. Jennifer said that under certain circumstances, she would act blonde. That is probably what most of them want. However, I'm sure you want a person who can be comfortable and accepting of a woman who is intelligent and successful. As you well know, there are worse things than being single, and being married to the wrong person is right up there at the top of that list. I can remember reading an interview with Barbara Walters. She said she was on a plane going home one night when it struck her that there wasn't anyone who cared whether she got home or not. I think she started putting out feelers, and it wasn't too long before she was married. Her husband was very opinionated, and she tried to please him. He didn't like the way she dressed, and for a while she was dressing very inappropriately, in my opinion, for her age. Her hairstyle was changed frequently and looked like a style too young for her, in my opinion. Since she got her divorce, she has dressed appropriately and worn her hair appropriately and looks better in every way. Again, in my opinion. I have always said I wouldn't marry again, but I'm even more adamant about it now. I would never love anyone else enough to go through the last 2 years. I had the thought recently that I have all of the disadvantages of not having a husband and all of the disadvantages of having one. Marge was over the other day, and she was bemoaning the fact that she has to make all the decisions and take care of everything on her own. So do I. I'm also very tied down, and I'm restricted in what I could do. I could write a whole page of all of the things I have to do that a single woman would not have to do. Last Friday night, I had to get up at 2 a.m. and strip Quentin's bed down to and including the rubber sheet and start all over again. At 6 a.m., he was wet again, and I had to do it all over. The other day, we went to town and bought a new doorknob for the dining room. He started on it right after lunch. Finally, he got so frustrated, I told him to go take a nap. He worked on it again after supper. He got up on Saturday morning and started in on it again. Every few minutes, he was calling me to get something for him. Terry stopped by after lunch, and we were both so glad to see her. She finished it up in just a little bit. That's the type of thing Quentin used to be able to fix without even thinking about it. He is getting stronger, and most days he's been able to get up in time to relieve himself. The other morning, he called me, and I rushed to the bedroom just as he was slipping to the floor. He sat there a while, and eventually I was able to get him up on his knees. We used the hoist to bring him into a standing position. I was surprised that he didn't have an accident, but he was able to get up and use the urinal. I think the swimming is making him a lot stronger. Lots of love, Mom. November 5th, 1995. Dear Annie, happy 16th birthday! I'm sorry I'm late. Your mother and I rather expect that of each other, but you probably aren't old enough to appreciate the fine art of procrastination yet. I do hope you had a good day. I like this card because of the little dancer. I still remember going to your dance program in Colorado Springs and how much I enjoyed it. You were so graceful. It was beautiful. Then there was that little boy who had a lot of enthusiasm, but not a lot of skill. I laughed and laughed about him. I'm so glad I got to go do that. It's the only thing I ever got to do with you. I went to the wrestling tournaments and different kinds of ball games with your brothers. I've gone to programs at the country school for Christy and Candy and to their high school graduations. I went to some kind of a carnival at Jennifer and Danny's school and a Christmas program when they lived here. I enjoyed your dance program most of all. And I'm so glad that it worked out that I was there at the right time. Your mother said you were going for another job interview today. I hope you get it. I was in the mall in Hutchinson not too long ago. It has really suffered since Walmart moved out. The cookie factory was closed. I wonder if your old boss got to the place where he couldn't find girls he could domineer and underpay. I hope you like your new school. Your mother said today that she's been very impressed with the principal and your teachers. I think she would have liked an alternative high school. I remember her saying once something about the teachers not treating the students like they were people or intelligent or something to that effect. I didn't have any trouble being a teenager. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed it. At my 40th class reunion, we were supposed to relate something funny that had happened in high school. Some of the kids told stories that made us laugh so hard we had tears running down our faces. When it was my turn, I said I couldn't remember anything funny. But I went on to say that my high school years had been the happiest time of my life. I admitted I wouldn't have said that if Quentin had been with me. He was harvesting wheat. A little bit later, one of the girls said, "Tell Quentin not to feel bad. My husband says the best time of his life was during the war." I also made the comment I felt we were lucky to have been teenagers before World War II, as the world has been so different since then. Everyone there nodded his or her head in agreement. Our world was certainly nothing like the one you are confronted with now. I would like to go back to having the kind of social standards we had then. Although I would hate to have to give up my TV, microwave, the automatic washer and dryer, air conditioning, my electric mixer, electric knife, dishwasher, and computer. We didn't even have electric typewriters then. Probably 98% of the kids didn't smoke, drink, or indulge in sex, but we had lots of fun. I can't ever remember saying, "I'm bored." I used to get so mad at Christy and Candy when they said that. I could, and usually did, give them a long list of things they could be doing so they wouldn't be bored. As I recall, they didn't appreciate or follow any of my suggestions. Well, going back to your school, I would certainly stress computer courses if you haven't had them already. I have said in the past that I think all girls should be required to have typing and bookkeeping. I used to say shorthand, but I don't think that's used nearly as much now. All of those subjects are basic and would be helpful even if you married a very rich man and never worked. I don't know how I would have gotten by without a typewriter all these years. I have done the bookkeeping for the farm for 49 years now. I have also been treasurer and secretary of a number of organizations. I once knew a woman who graduated from college with a degree in business administration and couldn't type. Can you believe that? We're looking forward to Thanksgiving and getting to see you and your mother. We're sorry the boys won't be able to get off work that long. I know you and the boys are glad to be back in the same town again. I would also guess that you enjoy having Robert stay at the house when your mother has to be gone on her business trips. We love you and we wish the very best for you, not only for next year, but for always. Lots of love, Grandma. Chapter 3, 1996. January 4th. 1996. Dear Elaine, I'm glad you enjoyed our little book, seems like yesterday. Quentin and I had a lot of fun writing it. It's funny how our memories of dating and World War II are still so vivid after all these years. The other kids acted like they were delighted when we gave them out, but no one has made any comments since then. Maybe they didn't think it was much of a Christmas present, or maybe they haven't read it yet. I think I might write about different isolated events and possibly just for you. There are some very difficult years of just plain hard grubbing work and poverty that I don't care to remember any more than I can help. There's nothing very inspirational about remembering when it was a major catastrophe when Larry would need a quarter for lunch for a field trip. Or when I had to learn to not cross my legs when I went to Child Study Club because I had holes in the bottom of my shoes. Or when I had to crawl straight up that ladder in the vestibule wall in the milk barn to push the grain over the holes for the cows and then have the rats come down those feeders with the grain. I didn't like being hit in the face with the cows' tails that had the great big knots of mud and shit on them. Or washing the crud off of the teats. Or scraping the shit out of the barn. Really, there was nothing about any of that that I liked. Well, that part's over, and I don't think I'm any worse for it. Thank God it was during that time that I found unity. That made so much difference in my life. Don't think I could have ever survived the following years if it hadn't been for the many lessons I learned from them. It's still helping me survive. I enjoyed the paper you sent with the story about Alex and also the annual report from his college. He's very handsome. I wouldn't have guessed he was Mexican. His ideas on the school sound very solid and worthwhile. I'm sure I would find him fascinating and interesting. I would also feel very intimidated around him since he's a college president. Guess I would have to take the attitude that Wimpy, the cartoon character, had. He said, "I am what I am, and that's all that I am." I thought about Alex last Sunday morning when we were watching Meet the Press. Their chief photographer is 97 years old. He's been with Meet the Press for 48 years. He started taking pictures when Woodrow Wilson was president. I think people who use their mental abilities and have an interesting life live longer than ones who beat themselves to death with physical work. Of course, a person's genes make a difference. Speaking of marriage, which we weren't, at this stage of my life, I cannot see why a woman, you in particular, would want to give up freedom for marriage. When I was your age, I would have probably felt a lot different. I think men are basically selfish and expect a woman to give up herself for them. Men who have been alone and who have taken care of themselves very well suddenly become extremely helpless when they get married. They can also become very demanding about a person's time. I guess I'm feeling sorry for myself as I am so terribly tied down. Thank God your dad still has a great disposition and his mind is good. Not as sharp as he used to be, but considering he's not involved in anything that demands his attention or concentration, I think he's doing well. You seem to be using good judgment in this matter with not rushing into it. I do worry about the age difference, though. You've seen what I've gone through, so if this relationship goes further and you decide to marry Alex, do it with your eyes open. You could be a young woman taking care of an old, sick man for a very long time. I think when a person has a sick wife or husband, it can feel as if you've been alone for the same number of years that person was sick. I have said many times that my husband died on October 30th, 1993. We just haven't gotten around to burying him yet. Hopefully, Quentin will die first. It will probably take some time for me to remember what it was like before his stroke. Then the grief will start. Well, Quentin has shut off the TV, so that means he's ready to go to bed. Love, Mom.